The Eyes Have It by Randall Garrett. Part 1. Sir Pierre Morlaix, Chevalier of the Angevin Empire, Knight of the Golden Leopard, and Secretary in Private to my Lord the Count de Vreux, pushed back the lace at his cuff for a glance at his wristwatch. 7:03. The Angelus had rung at 6, as always, and my Lord de Vreux had been awakened by it, as always. At least Sir Pierre could not remember any time in the past 17 years when my lord had not awakened at the Angelus. Once, he recalled, the sacristan had failed to ring the bell, and the count had been furious for a week. Only the intercession of Father Bright, backed by the bishop himself, had saved the sacristan from doing a turn in the dungeons of Castle de Vreux. Sir Pierre stepped out into the corridor, walked along the carpeted flagstones, and cast a practiced eye around him as he walked. These old castles were difficult to keep clean, and my lord the count was fussy about nitre collecting in the seams between the stones of the walls. All appeared quite in order, which was a good thing. My lord the count had been making a night of it last evening, and that always made him the more peevish in the morning. Though he always woke at the Angelus, he did not always wake up sober. Sir Pierre stopped before a heavy, polished, carved oak door, selected a key from one of the many at his belt, and turned it in the lock. Then he went into the elevator, and the door locked automatically behind him. He pressed the switch and waited in patient silence as he was lifted up 4 floors to the Count's personal suite. By now my lord the Count would have bathed, shaved, and dressed. He would also have poured down an eye-opener consisting of half a water-glass of fine champagne brandy. He would not eat breakfast until 8. The Count had no valet in the strict sense of the term. Sir Reginald Bowway held that title, but he was never called upon to exercise the more personal functions of his office. The Count did not like to be seen until he was thoroughly presentable. The elevator stopped. Sir Pierre stepped out into the corridor and walked along it toward the door at the far end. At exactly 7 o'clock he rapped briskly on the great door which bore the gilt and polychrome arms of the House de Vreux. For the first time in 17 years there was no answer. Sir Pierre waited for the growled command to enter for a full minute, unable to believe his ears. Then, almost timidly, he rapped again. There was still no answer. Then, bracing himself for the verbal onslaught that would follow if he had erred, Sir Pierre turned the handle and opened the door just as if he had heard the Count's voice telling him to come in. "Good morning, my lord," he said, as he always had for 17 years. But the room was empty, and there was no answer. He looked around the huge room. The morning sunlight streamed in through the high mullioned windows and spread a diamond-checkered pattern across the tapestry on the far wall, lighting up the brilliant hunting scene in a blaze of color. "My lord?" Nothing. Not a sound. The bedroom door was open. Sir Pierre walked across to it and looked in. He saw immediately why my lord the Count had not answered, and that, indeed, he would never answer again. My lord the Count lay flat on his back, his arms spread wide, his eyes staring at the ceiling. He was still clad in his gold and scarlet evening clothes, but the great stain on the front of his coat was not the same shade of scarlet as the rest of the cloth, and the stain had a bullet hole in its center. Sir Pierre looked at him without moving for a long moment. Then he stepped over, knelt, and touched one of the Count's hands with the back of his own. It was quite cool. He had been dead for hours. "I knew someone would do you in sooner or later, my lord," said Sir Pierre, almost regretfully. Then he rose from his kneeling position and walked out without another look at his dead lord. He locked the door of the suite, pocketed the key, and went back downstairs in the elevator. Merry Lady Duncan stared out of the window at the morning sunlight and wondered what to do. The Angelus bell had awakened her from a fitful sleep in her chair, and she knew that, as a guest at Castle de Vreux,